Tonight we'll talk about, again, there's a lot about, we can talk about Purim. And before that, we have Parsha Zachar. So we're going to talk about a couple of ideas that we can get from the story of Parsha Zachar that we will read this Shabbos. Again, the Haftorah, actually, from Parsha Zachar. Not from Parsha Zachar itself. We'll touch on Parsha Zachar a little bit later. But the story that in the Haftorah from Sefer Shmuel. So let's review the story for a moment. In source number one, Shmuel tells Shaul that, you know, I have a job for you. You have to get rid of Amalek. Get rid of Amalek. Some more Armakomos. Komar Hashem Tzvakos. Pakadis Yisrael Amalek Yisrael. I saw what they did. And Atal Lech V'Kisa Amalek. I gave you on the page one just the story that we're going to read. Go and destroy Amalek, everything that they have stood for. Again, a mitzvah that we're not going to focus on so much tonight, the Mechias Amalek. Shaul goes, and we know he did not fulfill every aspect of the mitzvah that he was asked to do. And the pasuk tells us that he gets Agag, doesn't even kill the king of Amalek, and the animals, and after the story, pasuk Yud, Vayidvar Hashem El Shmuel Emor, Hashem comes to Shmuel and says, Nichanti ki emlachti es Shaul HaMelech, I'm upset that I made him the king. He didn't fulfill what he was supposed to do. Shmuel gets upset, he goes to Shaul, and by Yom Rishon, we'll get to these psukim a little bit later, but because of this chet that he didn't kill out all of Amalek and the animals, he loses the malchus. As we know, towards the end, what happens, he says, Shmuel, come on, forgive me, and we'll get to his words to Hashem a little bit later, and Shmuel says no. When he starts walking away, he grabs Shmuel's cloak, and he tears the cloak, and Shmuel turns to him and says, just like you tore the cloak, so to the malchus will be torn away from you. So, two questions just by way of introduction. Number one, what exactly was Shaul's chet? What exactly did he do wrong? And whatever the chet was, it's interesting that he loses the malchus for the chet. David also did some things wrong. David wasn't perfect. David was a model of tshuva, but David also wasn't perfect. Shaul seemed to say, I'm sorry at the end. So why did Shaul lose the malchus for his chatoim, while David did not lose the malchus? David got punished, but he didn't lose the malchus for his chatoim. Number one. Good. Second idea, again, which we'll see, is connected to this. If we were writing the book of David HaMelech, if we were writing his background, his yichus, his family tree, or I should say it this way, if we were writing the story of Melech HaMashiach, and if we would choose someone to be the Melech HaMashiach, what would his background be? What would his lineage look like? Maybe the most pristine, the most pure, the most perfect. And yet, if you look in David HaMelech's lineage, doesn't seem to be so pure. We have Yud and Tamar, Ruth and Boaz, Lot and his daughters. And again, every one of those stories can be explained. Really can be explained. L'shem Shemayim, and people involved were had good kavanas. But it's interesting that that's the background. That'll connect to hopefully something that we'll touch on. But what's the deeper message here? Again, it's a topic of a separate shiur, but we'll focus on one idea which will partially answer the other question as well. Let's focus on one detail. So we'll have three ideas here, really, and we'll try to bring messages from each of these ideas into our lives. So number one, let's look back at the psukim and try to get a focus of what the problem, what the chet was. If you look, starting already in pasuk test, there seems to be a theme, right? He takes Agag, vayachmol Shaul v'ha'am al Agag. Shaul and the Am has rachmanis on Agag. V'almeitav atzon, v'albakar, v'amishnim, and the tzon, and the bakar, the Am. Skip a couple of psukim. V'yomer Shaul, u'meh kol atzon hazeh ba'aznoi, right, pasuk yudala, that is what's called anamanapia. Anapia, ding-dong, right? And anapia, u'meh, call it meh, right, the tzon. He hears the sheep. U'meh kol atzon hazeh ba'aznoi. What's this tzon that I hear? What does Shmuel Shaul answer? May Amaleki evium asher chomal ha'am. The Am had rachmanis. The Am had compassion. The Am took from the shalal And finally, Shaul says to Shmuel towards the end, Chatasi ki avarti, I did something wrong, ki arezi as ha'am. I was scared of the am. Part of his downfall of Shaul was that he was not acting independently. He was not acting over the am. He was acting as a reaction to the am. And also wanted to do this idea because it's, again, it was the 25th yard site yesterday. If you look in source number 3, the Sefer Zichron Arav, that came out a number of years ago, Sir Chaim Yaakov Golda has a mamar there where he quotes the Shemi Shmuel and expands on it in source number 3, where he says, being a king is not something natural for a Jew. Because what does a king have to do? A king has to rule over his fellow Jews. That's not something natural for a Jew. Right, the Gemara says in Yevamos, I gave it to you, source 2, there are 3 simanim of this Uma, Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gomle Chasadim. Rachmanim, Gomle Chasadim. To rule over a fellow Jew is not something naturally Jewish. Right, Kol Yisrael Arayim Themzel is that we're one goof. We're supposed to work together. Says the Kutzker Rebbe, he quotes this from the Shemi Shmuel, the name of the Kutzker, De Inyan Melucha, line 2, Lo Haya Nimsa Bi Yisrael. It's not naturally amongst the Jews. Vahayu Tzrichan Likach Zos Me Amun Moav. They had to take the Midah of Malchus, the successful Midah of Malchus from Amon u'Moab. What does that mean? Claims of Goldwicht. Vapirish Pashut, ki basher kol Yisrael ki ish echad heima, all Jews are like one. Eino shach she'echad yistar al chavero. One shouldn't rule over the other. Kamo she'ene eiver echad sheba adem yistar al le'aver acher, just like one eiver doesn't rule over another eiver. Shaul was a Jew, through and through. Okay, he wasn't a successful melech. David HaMelech, said the Shemi Shmuel, says the Kutzker, had to take a little bit from Amon and Moab, had to get a little bit of that in him, in his blood, to be a successful king. Fascinating idea. Amon evil Amonis, Moab evil Moabis. Paisa nefesh David HaMelech, Temua b'shivya toklipas Moab. Moab is a little bit of ruling over, a little bit of gaiva. But he needed that to be the melech. And it was exception to the rule. But that's what David HaMelech was. It was totally l'shem, he has to be totally l'shem Shemaim, obviously. Shaul was a tzaddik, but he wasn't a successful king. David HaMelech was independent from the Am. He wasn't mushpa from the Am as Shaul was. And that was his downfall. Because Shaul cared a lot about what the Am felt and what the Am did, and David did his own thing. And David did what he knew was right because he knew that was right. It's amazing. There's another story later which also brings this to fore. When the Aron was being brought back to Yerushalayim, right, finally it was brought back, and then it stopped in Beit Shemesh, then it went another months, and finally it was going back, and David was dancing with the Aron. David was dancing with the Aron. An amazing day. He brings the Aron back to Yerushalayim, and it says in source number 4 that he brought it, then he brought tons of karbanos, then he danced. The chulu, turn over. The David mecharker b'chaloz l'fnei Hashem. David was dancing with all of his might in front of Hashem. The David chagor eifod bud. He was wearing a special apron. Everybody was dancing and sweating. And this is the source, by the way, that the Rambam says you have to be besimcha and help others be besimcha. They brought the Aron. And after a long day, amazing day, David HaMelech goes home. And he just wants to fall on the couch, and he's had a long day. What happens? Pasachav, Vayasha David Lavareches Beiso. He comes back home. Vateitze, Pasachav, Michal Bas Shaul, look where's David. Michal Bas Shaul, David's wife, goes out to greet David. Interesting, why is she called Bas Shaul here? We don't know that already. We know she's the daughter of Shaul. But it emphasizes, Michal Bas Shaul comes out to greet David. Vatomer, and she says, Manich Barayom, Melech Yisrael. How awesome today was. Asher nigla hayom leni imahos. She says to him sarcastically, everybody saw you sweating there and you're rolling up your sleeves and you're dripping. Great, great job, David. Great job. I'm really proud of you. She's upset. And what does David answer? Sounds like what kind of answer is this? Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayomer David al Michal. Lefnei Hashem asher bachar bi miavicho mikol beiso letzavos osi nagid al Hashem. I'm Hashem. I'm the king, not your father. That's his answer. So what's going on here? What does it mean that the question that was said and the answer that was given. I would have done even more. Would have done even more. So what's going on here? So the Medrash fills in the story. The Yalkut in source number 5. The Medrash fills in the story. What does David say? What does Micha first say? Amarlo, mimishpachto shel beis abba haisa noem imcha. My father was more honorable than you, David. Chalilo lahem shenira mimea pisas yada pisas regel. Nobody ever saw their palms and their bottom of their feet. What does David say? I'm the king, meaning it doesn't matter. I do what I know is right. And if I need to schwitz and dance in front of the Aron, I'm focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't influenced. This is exactly the conversation that was taking place here between Michal and David. And David, that's exactly why. I'm the king. And that's how the Sefer Yikarim explains in source number 6. That's how the Sefer Yikarim explains the question that we asked before. Why did David not lose the Malchus? He also was Chote. And Shaul lost the Malchus? Because Shaul's Chet had to do with the Malchus. Shaul's Chet was that he was Mushpa from the Am. David had personal Chataim. Okay, we all have personal Chataim. But it wasn't about being the king. And that's what the Sefer Yikarim writes on line 17. For Roy Shiavar Amunasahu. Because his chay was in the Umnis Hamalki. Avadavalo Hayachit Umnas Hamalki. Shechatu Hayachit Acher. She'ain bo atlus bo Umnis Hamalki. Lachin nitan lemachila. Right? He's a machila and he gives a mashal. L'shnei Sofrim. She'echad chata she'asa shai mezuyef. One scribe, right, wrote a false star, and one scribe was Baal Erva. Which is worse. Obviously, one is a terrible thing, but one has to do with being a scribe. If your chet was about being a scribe, you can't be a scribe anymore. If your chet is about being a king, you can't be the king. So again, a king is not something that we wish on our kids. We wish that our kids should be a melech. No, we want our kids to be tzaddikim, we want our kids to be ba'alei chesed. But David was the one that had to be the king and was the successful king, and he needed a little bit. Hashkacha had, he needed a little bit of Amon and Moav in him, which is part of why the background of his was that it was. What's the message for us from this idea? We're not kings, but the Yesod is the same. We have to stand up for what we know is right, because that's what we have to do. Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Doesn't matter what the world is doing, right? The first halach in the tour. First halach in Aruch Chaim, Siman Aleph, Yud Ben Tema. Right, quoting the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Yud Ben Tema Omar, Az Kanomer Kal Kanosher, Rotz Katzvi Kibor Kari. Right, we have to be like that. And Lefishu Klal Gadol Avodas Abor Yisbarach. We have to be Klal Gadol. Pama the Chavis Lasos Mitzvah. Sometimes we want to do something. V'nim Nami Lasos, and we can't do it. V'pnei Bnei Adam Hashem Aligan Alav. Because people that are scoffing at him, and you have to be strong in front of the scoffers. That's the first thing. Interesting Ha'ara. If you look here in the Berachayim, discusses why can't Yehuda Ben Tema just say, be strong and quick and light and fast? Why does he have to give the animals? Ratz Katzvi, Yibar Kari, Kal Kanosher. What do you need those for? Says the Berachayim. Why is a lion strong? Because he thinks about it, I think I'll be strong today? No, it's natural. Why is it Tzvi fast? Because he decides he's going to be fast one day. He'll train, he'll run it fast. No, it's part of who he is. The ultimate goal is to have these midos as part of who we are naturally. That's why he gives the mashal of the animals. The kol amidos halalu tvuim bedamam shel ba'al chayim. V'lachein hem osim tamid as a pe'ula mibli lachshov hem la'asosa em lav. V'lachein ha mitzorach yudi lamod eitan b'malcham to negra yetzahara. V'lachayim chova sala alter. V'lachayim is chova. Remember Moshe Rabbeinu, we mentioned this often. Why was he called Moshe? Menamayim Shisihu, pulled from the water. Why was that the name that stuck out of all the names? Because water represents the ultimate in conformity. If I pour water into the cup, it looks like a cup. If I pour water into a triangular container, it becomes a triangle. Water represents the ultimate in conforming to its surroundings. Moshe was pulled from the water. Moshe was the anti-water. And that's what we have to be. Not mushpa from the surroundings, if they are surroundings that are not what we believe in, we have to be mashpia. And we have to be one, people that do the right thing because that's the right thing, and that's the first idea that we learn from the Haftorah of Parsha Zach. Number one. Number two, second idea. Pasuk says that we're going to read from Maftir, Asher Karcha Baderach. Karcha Baderach. Amalek was Koreachas on the way, Baderach. What does that mean? Asher Karcha. So Rashi quotes three pshatim. Again, there are many chumras about Parsha Zachar. Hear it in your Nusach, and Zechar and Zecher, and all different chumras. But the biggest chumra, which is not really a chumra, is we have to know what the words mean. Right? That we should go through is three psukim. Not every word is very straightforward. So Asher Karcha, what does Karcha mean? Rashi says three pshatim. Asher Karcha Baderach, number two. So this is not from the Haftorah, but this is the second message from Parsha Zachar. We'll get back to the Haftorah in the third idea. Asher Karcha Baderach, Lashon Mikra. Lashon of coincidence. Coincidence, Mikra, just, it happened. Amalek happened to find us in the desert, and Davar Acher, Lashon Keri V'tumah. Impurity. Asher Karcha Baderach, he impurified us. Keri. So, coincidence, Keri, Davar Acher, Lashon Kar V'chom. Davar Acher, cold. Karcha, he made you cold. Tzinancha v'evshircha miritichascha. He made you cold from your boiling state. Shehayu kol ha'umos yireim li'lachem b'chem. All the nations were scared to fight with you. Ubazev v'hischil. Right, the whole world was scared and on fire from the Makos, and on fire from Kriyas Yamsuf, and Amalek came. He cooled off the emun in the world. There, Makom Macher. Rashi gives the mashal ambati rosachas, a boiling bath. Shein kol birya yecholo layre of the tocha. That nobody can jump it. It's boiling hot. Bob Emliach, one guy comes and jumps in. He gets burned. Avish nechve. Hikro samim yacherim. He cooled it off for everybody afterwards. Cooled it off for everybody afterwards. What's the message of Rashi? Rashi goes three different shatim. Again, mikre, coincidence. Two, karcha, impurity. Three, cold. Asher karcha. So explain a number of the Bali Musar. I gave it to you from Rav Sternbach, both in his Shuvas van Hagas and in Moed Muzmanim. Maybe all three are one idea and can be connected. Amalek is all about mikre. It's all about coincidence. It's all about, it's not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem's not in charge. Why? There was Makas, there was Kriyas Yamsuf. Not so great, not so amazing. It was a strong breeze that day. There was food poisoning in Mitzrayim. You know, whatever it might be. As many point out, Amalek is the gematria of Safek. He brought doubt to the world. And that's the ultimate in impurity. The ultimate in impurity is when there's mikra, when we don't recognize that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the cooling off of Emunah. Any lack of Emunah in today's world is because of the power of Amalek. It's because of the power of the mikra. She'ikar tumas amalek asher karcha she'akol mikra. Afilo achrei anisim aneflos hagluyim. Shehayu b'yetzias Mitzrayim. Even after open miracles. Bo heim she'yabali kishuf. They came, the magicians. Va'amru she'akol sheker akol mikra. U'bekochos ken kishuf. Achshish b'amlai ha'shamala. V'tumazos limchok roshem yetzias Mitzrayim. To erase the roshem of Yetzias Mitzrayim, nimshach v'olechad hayam hazeh, until today, any time that there's lack of belief, is tumas amalek. It's tumas amalek, and we know it's not going to be rectified fully until Mashiach. And we know that because the Torah is missing a letter. Remember at the end of B'shalach, what we're going to lane on Purim morning, the nine pasuk laning ki yad al kase ka. It should be next page on top, right? Case should be kisei. Right, Hashem swears by his throne. It says case without the aleph, because Rashi quotes, it's not going to be improved until the future. Even the name Amalek, if you think about Amalek, Ayin Mem Lamed Kuf, it's the Am, Ayin Mem, that could take the most exciting, amazing, godly events from the top of the Lamed and schlep it down to the bottom of the Kuf. Right, that's the power of an Amalek to the lowest letter. The highest letter and the lowest letter. Because that's what Amalek does. It takes God out of the picture. It takes Hashem out of the picture. All right, I didn't give it to you, but remember the Gemara in Chulin? Kuf Lamites. Haman min HaTorah minayin. Where's Haman from the Torah? Haman, which is Amalek. Where's Haman? Hamina Eitz Hazeh. From this tree, the Nachash put doubt into Adam and Chava. There's suffix, there's doubt. Maybe you won't die. Maybe it's not clear that Hashem doesn't want you to do it. That's the power of Amalek. And obviously, we remember Amalek, and it's our job to destroy this type of Midah, destroy this this Hashkafa. You know, so often we lose focus. Right, the Baruch Chaim here in 14 quotes a story of a chassid who's running to do this and running to do that. He's davening and he's shopping and he's this and he's that. And one time the tzaddik says, you know, let's think about a Kaddish Baruch Hu for a little bit. He's like, I can't think about a Kaddish Baruch Hu. I'm too busy doing mitzvos. We have to recognize, you know, what it's all about. We have to recognize, you know, Amalek tries to remove that from that connection from us. But that's what we have to remember, right? The Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, the whole set is about this this idea, right? Sometimes we lose the trees because we lose the forest based on the trees. How often during the day do we realize the taklas of our life, right? Jazman shubam eschai. We're alive when we're thinking about the taklas of our life, with it being connected to Hashem and whatever we're doing, with the learning, we're exercising, anything we're doing, if we're connected in that way. And we have to do what we can to always be connected. And that's really the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem. That's one of the harder mitzvahs because we don't even know what it means. Right? What are the mitzvahs to me? There's Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem and belief in Hashem. What is Zara? Hashem Echad, Yichud Hashem. What does that mean? So if you look in the art scroll, the Sheish Mitzvahs to me, it's a great sefer. So he talks about seeing everything as coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Cold, sick children, car trouble come from Hashem. They were created to bring you closer to Him. No less than your Siddur and your Gemara. Certain levels of perfection can be attained by davening and studying and Torah, and others can be attained only when you're in bed with the flu or in the waiting room or in a doctor's office with your children. There are aspects of your personality that will be refined when you learn how to deal with the frustration of a car that will not start or others. And he talks about other ideas here. But the second idea is to rid Amalek from our lives. And that means to always focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu being involved in our life and being responsible for everything in our life. Secondly, I'm not reading everything inside because I got to get home for something. Number three. Third and final idea. Number one is to recognize that, you know, we have to be mashpiyim and not mushpa'im in most situations in life. Number two, we have the idea of Amalek. Number three, we go back to the Haftorah. We go back to the Haftorah. If you look back at the story, on the first page, what happens? Shmuel comes and says, what's this sown? What do I hear? Shaul says, the Am had compassion. Shmuel says, get away. Hashem is very upset. What are you? You're the king of Israel. And Shaul says again, what do you do? Shaul says again, Asher shamati b'kol Hashem, b'eilech b'derech Hashem b'chani, v'yikach ha'am na'am tuk. And then Shmuel keeps getting upset at him a third time, Pasuk Chavdalet. Shaul said to Shmuel, chatasi ki avarti es b'Hashem, ki arezi es ha'am. He keeps, first he didn't admit to fault. Then he admitted to fault with an excuse. So it's still not there yet. Until finally Shmuel turns to go. Shaul grabs onto his baguette, he rips it, your machlus is going to be ripped away. And finally, he says on the top of the second page, Vayomer Chatasi. The story of Haftorah is a story of tshuva. It's a story of when finally all the excuses fall away. When we admit to the truth, and we come back to it, and we recognize that, you know, with everything that we do in life, we have to know that, no, this is we have to be emistic with ourselves, right? What happened when David sinned and Nasan Anavi gave him the mashal of the sheep and he realizes that Taha Ish, you're the man. What does David say? One word, Chatasi, two words, Lashem. Yomer David on Nasan 20:17, Chatasi Lashem. That was it. Nasan says, okay. Until Shaul could reach that stage, it took time and effort. Right? We know the famous Yerushalmi about Aim Sisera. Right? Why do we blow 100 kolos on Rosh Hashanah? Because of Aim Sisera. So, past 1,000 years, been the question of why Dafka Aim Sisera, the mother's anti-Semitic mother. So I once heard of Pshat many years ago. Rabbi Aaron Kahn once said this. The Pesukim describes Sisera's mother's looking out the window. Where's my Sisera? Where's my Sisera? Waiting for him to come home. Waiting for him to come home. And her friends are saying, don't worry, he's getting money, he's getting women, it's all okay, it's going to be okay. And as the sun's setting, more, she realizes he's not coming home. And all the excuses fall away. And the reality sets in. And that's Rosh Hashanah. That's why we lean that on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is about all the excuses falling away, and we just look at the truth, what we have to do in life, and what we have to accomplish. And that's what Shaul had to get to, and that's what Tshuva's David was. Recognizing that there's no excuses, recognizing that we have to do what we have to do, because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. You know, we make excuses in life about a lot of things. We can't get up in the morning, we have trouble getting up for Shacharis. We have trouble, you know, having kavanah b'shachris. We have trouble focusing during the havrusa. We have trouble, you know, making brachas and benching properly. We have trouble using our downtime properly. We have trouble too much on the phone. We have trouble, whatever it is. Everybody has their own. But we have to recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us. Kadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us to do it right now without the excuses. Purim was another Kabbalah Satara. Purim is a time that Hashem says He believes in us. And not to push it off. We mentioned 2 weeks ago, right? The Gemara, the last source. Beitz Yasu Patach the Sahar, right? They stood at the foot of the mountain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds the mountain over our heads. Kabbalah Markah Gigas. And Hashem says, if you accept the mitzvah, great. If not, Sham take for Aschem. And we mentioned then, what do you mean Sham? Kan. Sham. No. If we say that, we'll do it eventually. Sham. Take for Aschem is never going to happen. It'll be the burial of the idea. Because we have to recognize that now, Purim is a time of clarity when we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our life, and we have to recognize that Hashem demands a lot from us. So as we hear the laning this week and we hear the Haftorah this week, let us recognize that A, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to make sure that we're in charge of our own lives. We're not mishpaim from other people and from the Am. We do our best. Number two, and we act like Moshe Rabbeinu, right, the anti-water, we act like David HaMelech, and not a Shaul who lost the Malchus, because that was a problem in the Malchus. Number two, we recognize that any lack of connection, of emuna, any doubts, it all comes from the Koach of HaMalek. And we need to daven for the day, Ki Yad Al Keis Ka, when the Kisei will be fulfilled, and the power and the poison of HaMalek in our life, you know, is disconnecting us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to connect. Every situation in life is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to recognize that. And number three, we have to make sure tshuva is not just for Elul. Tshuva is not just for Hashanah Yom Kippur. We can do tshuva every day of our life. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And the way to do tshuva is to try to trim away all of the excuses that we have. But Hashem, the more we try, the harder we try, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, He'll be there with us. Tshuva elai v'ashuva aleichem. And we should try our best to be able to focus and to make Hashem proud in that way. And we can do it because it's Chodesh Adar. And Hashem is closing this great mazel for Am Yisrael and Chodesh Adar. There's also some good ice cream here for Chodesh Adar. But we have to recognize that and use our potential.
Thank you.